Exhibition 20984, Reel 4.
When I got home, my wounds got progressively worse, so I had to have treatment under the auspices of a marvellous man, Sir Morton Smart, who got me going again. And during that time, I got married. And to my absolute amazement, having failed at my exam to get out of Sandhurst, I was posted back. It had moved to Mons Barracks at that time, the infantry side had, and I had moved there as an instructor, which I thought was a little ironic, having failed when I was a cadet there to get out. And I had a very happy time instructing the Brigade of Guards platoon of cadets, and it was, if you like, a totally different sort of way of life. And my wounds began to get better, but I was downgraded. And from instructing at Sandhurst, as it was still called, although it was at Mons Barracks, having done that, I was then posted as chief instructor to the London University Combined Cadet Corps. Informated. And that was very fascinating teaching. Again, not easy for a dyslexic. One had to go an hour before one's lectures and write it all up on the board or on big sheets of paper, because it was very difficult for a dyslexic to handle a blackboard using chalk. And but the boys were very helpful. And you find ways of bluffing. I used to get the brightest boy, who I knew all the answers, to come and do quite a lot of writing on the board. I said, come on, Williams, I'm sure you know the answers. You write what you think is the correct school solution on the board. After a time, the lads saw through it. But they were marvellous people to teach. And I've met a lot of them. One or two became generals. And very senior men, and they were very, very good to me. There was this sort of sympathique, but I think with sort of two wound stripes on one's battle dress sleeve, I think that they were prepared to listen, and they did listen. But it was a marvelous experience to teach both the cadets at Mons and these very young boys at London University. I had to go around all the colleges night after night and weekend camps and so on. And I then married, and it looked at one time as if I'd never be able to have children from the wounds I got on Longstop Hill. But thanks to Sir Morton Smart and his assistant, Mr. Shine, who did marvellous work for the King. Sometimes he was late and I had to wait, and eventually Sir Morton confided in me that he was treating the King over at Buckingham Palace. And I think he did a lot of marvellous things for the King. He's a brilliant doctor. And my father had said that he would pay his bill for all the work he did on me. And when it came to asking for the bill to be sent, Sir Morton said, I wouldn't think of charging a penny, he said. Any soldier who's wounded in action gets it for free. It's a great privilege and pleasure for me. So that really was the end. Funny enough, I rang up the company commander, who was very good to me when I was a college C in the war, when I first joined the Berkshires. And I had my last meal in the army with him at Guildford. And it was all, I suppose, a bit sentimental. But I do remember his last words. In fact, it was in the form of a question. Did you enjoy the war, Phillips? And I said, I think it's rather a terrible answer I'm going to give you. But the answer is, yes, I did. There were terrible times which I loathe. There was great sadness, great sorrow. One lost probably half one's best friends. But the camaraderie and the decency of pretty well everybody, whether they were the people in the East End, whether they were the guardsmen's wives, all those who were killed I wrote to, and their bravery, I don't know what it was. But there was great laughter and singing and a tremendous joy, which I don't think one's really experienced since the war. It was a terrible thing, agony at times. But yes, I had to give the answer. I think I did enjoy the war. It sounds very strange.
I think you've also got a story about Eisenhower going round the ward when you were a patient in North Africa.
Well, in brief, there were several American officers down one end of a large ward, and there were several English officers down our end, including, I suppose, about seven or eight, maybe nine, people from my battalion. And Eisenhower, having pinned the Purple Heart on the pajamas of the American officers, came over to my commanding officer, Colonel Stuart Brown, and said, how come you guys don't get the Purple Heart or a medal for being wounded? So Bundy Stuart Brown, very quiet, very modest man, said, well, General, it's difficult to explain it, but I could give you one or two examples. Here in this very ward. And so he said, for instance, Arthur, looking across at Captain Fortescue, later Brigadier Fortescue, he said, where were you when you were wounded? And he said, I was running around to try and get these some mines behind the a Tiger tank, which was attacking our position. And I hope perhaps we could blow them up on their way out. And so Colonel Bunty said, well, surely that's one of the maddest things any officer could do, because they're bound to see you mow you down with their machine gun, which they did. And so he said, right, now, where were you, Mark, looking at me? So I said, well, I'm not absolutely certain. I couldn't tell you on the map reference, but I was on the top of Longstop Hill and was trying, if for one moment, to see where I was and get down to my chaps. And the moon suddenly came out rather strongly, and the clouds just disappeared for about 20 seconds. And I knew I'd been hit. So the colonel said, so you were on the skyline? I said, well, I suppose I was, Colonel, yeah. He said, the one thing you were taught would never, ever to stand or walk along a skyline. You should have been court-martialed rather than given any sort of medal. Disgraceful. And he went on to one or two other officers. And all of us were doing something which wasn't in the manual training book. Eisenhower looked and he put his chin in his hand and he said, I see. I don't think I'm going to go back and ask these guys who I've just decorated what they were doing. And he said, but I take your point, Colonel. And he said, well done, boys, you all did well on Longstreet. And left the room.